Welcome to the Waco Experience, an American story.
We the people.
With your host, D. Scott Smith.
In order to form a more perfect union.
Interviews with leaders in business, government, and nonprofit organizations.
Promote the general welfare.
Jobs, products and services, and infrastructure for strong communities.
Secure the blessings of liberty.
The Waco Experience is an American story, a story of communities across America. It is your story.
To be championed by a festival that you truly like put on a pedestal and appreciate, it means the world. And there's always a great audience at Waco, and we're just so excited and anxious to see how they respond.
In this episode of the Waco Experience and American Story, Texas filmmaker Travis White. His film, shot in several Texas locations, is part of the Waco Independent Film Festival. I'm your host, D. Scott Smith. You can learn more about this program and sponsors and find links to the podcast version of this program at thewacoexperience.com. Visit our sponsors, White Bluffs Construction, Custom Building, Home Remodeling, and I encourage you to call Seth at 254-227-2002 and schedule White Bluffs Construction to build your patio, deck, or pergola. Visit their website, whitebluffsconstruction.com. My wife and I had questions about health care insurance. Monica Shannon of Texas Healthcare for You listened to us, answered our questions, and helped my family find the right coverage. Call Monica today at 254-339-3421. Visit the website, txhealthcareforyou.com. That's txhealthcare, the number 4 and the letter u.com. Biddy and Bo's Coffee offers hot and cold beverages, catering, and provides employment for people with disabilities. They offer a conference room you can reserve and use at no cost. Visit Biddy and Bo's Coffee today at 110 Franklin in Waco. The Cactus Rose Ranch. Young, old, or in between, learning how to work with a horse is confidence building. Cactus Rose Ranch offers individual lessons or monthly memberships. Contact them for riding lessons or ranch parties and their nonprofit program, Healing Heroes with Horses, online at thecactusroseranch.com. The Waco Independent Film Festival. This award-winning festival, full of incredible movies, amazing people, and parties, runs July 17 to 20 in downtown Waco. Get tickets and information online at wacoindie.com. That's wacoindie.com. Come to Waco, tell great stories.
D. Scott here, and instead of being out and about with the mobile studio recording, I am here in my home studio, and we're recording remotely with Travis White. He is part of a team that has a movie at the film festival. It'll actually be showing tonight at the Texas Music Cafe, 8 p.m. And this is one of the crowd pleasers. It is a feature film, and we'll talk a little bit about that. But really, I want to get the behind the scenes. What does it mean to make an independent film? Travis, let's get an introduction. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Filmmaker, I've been dabbling in film for nearly two decades now, and mostly Austin, Texas. Right now, I have a production company with my wife, Madison, and Chris Beyer, who's our like film partner in crime. We've joined teams, and we're just trying to create.
In this film, The Ego Death of Queen Cecilia, you're listed as producer.
That's right.
And for years, many of us have watched TV, watched movies. We see the credits go by. We know what the director does. We know what the actors do. We know what the screenwriter does. Tell us what a producer does.
There's so many different subtitles to producer, and with those titles come an array of different responsibilities. You know, executive producer is traditionally just the guy who or gal who funds the movie, the big bucks or the check. You have people like line producers who are kind of dealing with the financials, and you have associate producers who had some hand an important hand in the creation or the production itself. But you have creative producers, you know, as far as just making sure the wheels are slick and oiled on for principal production. That was mostly my role. Honestly, this is such a tiny production, and Scott, you're a one-man band in many ways, we were a one man with three heads band when it came to this. Maybe 85% of the production, it was really just Chris, the writer director, and myself. A lot of that Madison was on set, but it was mostly just us three and our star, Joe Schaefer. And so that was the bulk of the entire production. It was a very small footprint.
So my heart is always with the entrepreneur, with the small business folks.
Oh, yeah.
And that's really what you guys are. You're a small business.
Absolutely.
But this is an award-winning film. The Industry Choice Award with Dances with Films, also nominated with the Texas Film Award. This movie was filmed in Laredo, Texas, I believe.
It was filmed in Austin. It was mostly, the bulk of it was filmed in Austin. It takes place in Laredo. We shot in seven different cities: Lockhart, Somerville, Bell County, Bee Caves, Laredo, all across, including Mexico. We were in Nuevo Laredo, the border crossing. It was all over the place.
The ego death of Queen Cecilia, getting a little bit of the storyline. Mm-hmm. This is a person that's caught up in social media. Really, that's her career. It's on YouTube. Kind of that fall from grace and her loss of meaning. So we've just mentioned these different locations. As the producer, how do you go about finding these locations? I know every time you hire an actor, you've got crews, some just money going out the door. How do you put this together? Again, we're looking at this as a small business.
Well, part of the reason we shot in so many different locations, specifically around Central Texas, you just have to use your resources. You know, we were in Lockhart because we knew someone who had a ranch out there. It required a very minimum amount of pay to obtain. Somerville, we shot at a motel there. We essentially looked at, 50 different motels, and we needed a very specific kind of seedy looking motel. And so the way that we went about it, at least, we just went on Google Maps, put in motel, and we just kind of zoomed out and looked around the surrounding areas of Austin. If you're shooting around the outskirts of like a major city, you're also more likely to find someone who's a lot more happy to oblige with you filming there. And so whenever you start kind of peering outside of the main city, you get people who are like excited. They're actually excited. Mm-hmm. We found the perfect place in Somerville, and the owners were incredibly lovely. They rolled out the red carpet for us. They were so welcoming, so accommodating. They were just happy. In the city itself, you know, they don't get much attention in Somerville. They're just this teeny tiny production, and we're shooting in the parking lot, and somehow word travels throughout the town. And then you look up and people have come to the motel to just stand around and watch us shoot. And so we're like,
that's fun. I love it. It's the film before a live audience.
That's right. We had a little audience going on.
That's gotta add some energy to the crew. Maybe. I mean, either distraction or energy. What happened?
It could be either way. I mean, you had people sitting in their cars and their headlights on. You're like, guys, trying to tell people to keep it down. You know, we got live mics all over the place.
Right.
For the most part, everyone was respectful. Everyone stood back and watched the show. And I don't know what context they knew or if they knew anything other than, hey, there's a movie. They probably assumed it was like a bigger Hollywood movie and wanted to come check it out, and
hoping to see a famous star, someone recognizable. I just imagine the conversation. You're calling up the owners of the hotel and said, hey, we're filming and we need a CD motel, and we found you guys.
kind of had to word it, dress it a little lightly, but no, they were
looking for a vintage motel, a vintage.
Exactly.
So you go through, you've got the script, and in this case, Chris wrote the script, mm-hmm. and also directed the film.
He did. Chris and Daniel Wolfman, who's also our co-writer and one of the other producers. He's a phenomenal, fantastic, talented writer based out of New York.
What about actors? How do you go out and find your actor? How do you cast your folks?
You know, when you're on part of the community, as long as you are, you cross paths with so many people, you're attending festivals or other screening events, you naturally come across talent. You see a lot on different screens. So it eventually can become a game of like headhunting. So some of these people who we now are great friends with, it all started from us going to a film festival and seeing them on the screen and being like, what's their name? Write them down, reach out. And then you just establish relationships. But as far as our lead, Joe Schaefer, it's this is her first acting gig ever. She's never acted a day in her life. Chris wanted to do a camera test, kind of wrangled Joe in for the camera test. And she was just like came off as a natural on camera. And that led to kind of experimenting with a little tiny improv short. And then that short led to the decision of we're going to cement this and make Joe our lead, which, you know, as a producer, I'm like, I don't know. You know, you have to have some kind of tether to reality. You know, this doesn't always work out, and have some kind of approach with caution. I mean, his instincts were bang on. Joe was phenomenal. And, you know, we mostly shot this mostly in chronological order, watching her maturation as a performer and watching her go from this kind of green, wet behind the ears, learning the ropes as she goes. And by the end of production, I mean, she is just rock solid, well-oiled, phenomenal performance machine. I mean, she definitely went through a boot camp on this production.
And those of us from the outside looking in, again, my experience with movies is watching the behind the scenes. And there's also like this dynamic between the director and the actors. How did that dynamic play out?
Chris is a great director. You know, he comes from an acting background himself. He comes from a documentary background. And so he's really big on realism and just trying to find the core true. You know, they always say acting is not acting. You know, you want to just find your truth and put that, the prism that you put, of which you put your character through. You know, everyone else, we did use a lot of non-actors. And, you know, we're a big fan of like the Safdie Bros, and they just have this uncanny talent in harnessing a random person's ability to get the performance that they need on camera. And Chris has a great talent in that department as well.
And I think that would be helpful having come from the documentary world.
Exactly. But, you know, also, I would say like half the cast were non-actors, but the other half we really built around Joe. You know, again, people I've seen throughout the years and I've been a fan of, people I've worked with before, just people that we knew that we could rely on to show up on day and do their job well. And everyone just was fantastic to work with, and they really nailed pretty much everything. Yeah, they were great.
What about equipment? I mean, let's just talk about cameras and lights and sound equipment. These are things I don't think that you guys own.
Nah. Well, yeah. Look.
That's how that works.
I go back and forth, our production in particular, like I said, we had such a tiny footprint. I mean, it was often Chris, myself, Joe, Madison thrown in the mix often. And it was just a camera and a mic. And that was it. A lot of natural lighting. I mean, that's basically it. We shot on a C300 Mark II and a Sony A7S III. It was extremely bare. And, you know, this is also kind of the movement that Chris is trying to push. He coins it as the buyer method, which is just like bare minimum. You have your bare essentials and you just gorilla or whatever, not necessarily gorilla, but you just, again, you just leave the tiniest footprint possible with technology that has allowed us and given us the opportunity to do so. And, you know, you don't need 15 people on set. You know, we'll step on a set, on someone else's set, and we look around and it's a two-person scene shooting dialogue, and there are 15 people standing around behind the camera. And it's like, all these people are getting paid. All this money's just getting burnt into thin air. It's like, what are we doing here? And so we're really trying to push against that and just show how far filmmakers can push with the technology that's available.
So today on the Waco Experience, an American Story, I've got Travis White. He is a producer for The Ego Death of Queen Cecilia. That movie is showing tonight. If you're listening to this in the morning, Travis, you've got all this stuff. Now you finish the filming. It goes into post-production. What does that look like to get the movie ready for distribution?
Woo! Okay, so this film was produced and made very unconventionally. Essentially, I'll try to nutshell this. It's a difficult thing to parse out when we're talking about pre, post, and principal on this movie in particular, because it has a very strange timeline. Chris brought the script to us, the original script. It was great. We're like, all right, let's pick up the camera. And then we realized, you know, certain aspects and elements of the script we either didn't have access to or would be a very expensive green light to get access to. And so, like, originally she worked at a restaurant. And so from there, we were like, okay, well, she can't work at a restaurant. Well, I was doing a lot of delivery gigs for Amazon Flex, stuff like that. And so we're like, okay, let's kind of imprint that experience onto Cecilia. So now she's a delivery driver. Well, this changes certain things that took place in the restaurant. So now we have to pivot and, you know, take those story beats and find them elsewhere. All this turned into essentially fixing the plane as we were flying, because we had started shooting. We're realizing in real time things aren't working where they aren't working, or we're realizing that this pivot to this other location is kind of tugging at the thread elsewhere. For about 2 years, we shot over the course of 2 years, maybe a year and a half, and we shot maybe 85% of the original script. And Chris put together an assembly cut of essentially everything, a very, very, very rough cut of everything that we had up to that point. And it was not good. It was, I think, objectively just did not work. And so Madison and Chris and I sat down, watched it, and it was a very somber, very quiet, somber conversation that lasted several hours, trying to determine what are we going to do here. You have to think, you know, is shooting the remaining 15% of the script really going to be the solution to the problem that we're facing? Is this really going to fix? Is it going to elevate the movie to the point of something that we feel confident or comfortable putting out into the world? And ultimately, the answer was no. And so we decided to take the best 25 minutes of what we shot, essentially, and turn it into a short. And so we took that short. We thought, okay, we're going to put it out in the festival circuit, see how it lives, what kind of legs it grows. And it grew some legs. It won some awards. It got a lot of great attention and great responses from everyone. And the unified response was, so y'all are going to turn this into a feature, right? This is like a proof of concept for a feature. This is going to turn to a feature, right? We're like, okay, I guess we may go back to the drawing board. And that we did. We went back to the drawing board. At this point, in hindsight, was 2020. We knew kind of the pitfalls that we had, the elements that were lacking in the first stab at it. We knew where we fell with the character, with the story, or the pacing. And so we went back to the drawing board, retooled, rewrote, added scenes, added characters. And then for the next year and a half, proceeded to reshoot a lot of the film as well as the new scenes. And so with that, as you watch the movie, you'll actually see scenes where, you know, one scene was shot 2 years ago. The next scene was shot 4 years ago. The next scene was shot 7 months ago, you know, so luckily, it seems like no one has been able to pick up on that, thankfully, but it's been wild. And luckily we felt like we were able to stick the landing with the reshoots and the rewrites. And, you know, it was kind of a blessing in disguise that we had the time to sit back, reflect, and really kind of focus on what needed to be improved on to make this like a solid narrative feature. And I'm happy to say, I think we did our job. We did it. We stuck the landing.
So a lot of years have gone into the movie.
It's too many years. A lot of blood, sweat, and years.
So from the time that the script started being written, mm-hmm. and until the time that you released it, 5-6 years?
Close to four years.
Four years.
Creeping on four.
Now you have a feature film.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I'll remind people, this film has already won awards. But let's talk about the film circuit. You're here at the Waco Independent Film Festival. Mm-hmm. And I know they get a lot of movies. With 150 movies are being shown here at the festival. And you're one of those. Talk about what happens now that the movie's released. The work doesn't stop.
No. If anything, it's the world's most expensive hobby, essentially. And it is all time consuming. It's never over. It doesn't end. This festival circuit is just a whole nother completely different chapter and leg to run on. And once that's done, we're entering into distribution, and that's a whole nother thing and a whole nother baggage to carry and lift and move around the country with. And it's exhausting, but it's a labor of love. And, you know, it's not for the weak at heart, especially a feature. You know, this is our first feature. This is Chris's first feature as a writer director. This is my first feature as a producer. And, you know, we have plenty of shorts under our belt and experience there. And, you know, you learn, like, it is a completely different ball game. They're not really one and the same. And with that comes, like, even the whole post-production aspect of things. It's a whole nother mountain to climb. And so with all of that considered, to have a feature and to get it into festivals and actually get accepted, and especially festivals like Waco, which is, like, one of the best in the country, it's phenomenal. It is such an honor, and it's such a breath of fresh air of validation and, you know, all that hard work, especially, like, to be championed by a festival that you truly, like, put on a pedestal and appreciate. It means the world. And, you know, there's always a great audience at Waco, and we're just so excited and anxious to see how they respond.
Well, that's great, because it's just a short throw for you guys to come from Austin to Waco, which is nice. We know just some of the big film festivals around. Of course, Austin has South by Southwest and all of the activities that go on there. There's other film festivals in Texas that are reachable, I'll say. Yeah. What about nationally, internationally? What's the process like?
I mean, it's essentially the same thing. Everything is centralized. You go to Film Freeway. It kind of provides a massive list of literally thousands and thousands of festivals worldwide. You know, you can kind of narrow that down to Texas or US. You kind of have, like, your general mainstay top 20 festivals, you know, that everyone kind of generally places on a certain totem pole and a certain ranking in order. You want to be strategic with your approach. If you have the money, I guess paper the walls with submissions all you want, but for those who don't have the finance to do that, you have to get really specific. You have to do your research. You have to look at these festivals and kind of look at their back programs and see what they do kind of typically program for their festival, what they do accept. If you look back and they're nothing but, you know, rom-coms, it's a whole bunch of rom-com movies, then perhaps your crime thriller is a bad fit. And so you're just wasting money throwing it in the air by submitting it. You want to take whatever stabs you feel comfortable taking. You know, our approach was, we're going to do kind of a phase of submissions. And the first one, you kind of want to leverage your world premiere. That's almost the only token that you have to leverage your film as a small indie. And a lot of festivals do hold and regard premieres very highly. And so we kind of approach, like, okay, we're going to have our dream list of festivals that we don't really have any expectations, but if there's a puncher's chance of getting chosen, then that's a massive leap for the film itself. And so you have your Tribecas, your Sundances, your South Bys, your Torontos, your Chicagos, and you just kind of submit and hope for the best. And you want to time it to where, if you do happen to land one of those festivals, that they're guaranteed your world premiere, because that's just a bigger sell. And after that, you kind of just move down the totem pole a little bit, and you start to look for other, more genre specific festivals, if one exists. And there are plenty of very popular or hot festivals that are that tailor specifically to specific genres. And then from there, you move down to more regional and kind of what's around you and what's of drivable distance. And at that point, you're just hoping to get as many eyeballs on it as possible.
So Travis White, producer for The Ego Death of Queen Cecilia, showing at the Waco Independent Film Festival. Close us out with some words of inspiration for people coming to the festival.
Oh, for people coming to the festival? Just enjoy. It's one of the most, you know, the gentlemen running the festival are so lovely. They're filmmakers themselves. You know, this festival really is like a filmmakers festival. They consider the filmmakers in ways that many festivals do not, you know, where most festivals are kind of just trying to meet their quota and by any means necessary. There's a lot of financial aspect to it or that motivated through finance and profit. Waco is genuinely, such a grassroots, just a place of comfort for filmmakers. They really go above and beyond to make us feel wanted and appreciated, and they really get creative with their scheduling and events. And it's great. It's great for meeting people. It's great for networking. You know, all these big festivals are fantastic. They're great. But we have found that, if anything, the festivals that have helped moved the needle for us the most are these regional festivals. You know, they're not the Tribecas. It's I met Chris at a, let me put it this way, I'll try to nutshell this, make it quick. My wife and I had our first short. It just entered the festival circuit. Up to that point, we've been trying to get our second short shot for 7-8 months to this point. And for one reason or another, no one wanted to touch it. No one wanted to help us. Everyone was just like, we politely declined. Well, we go to Austin Spotlight Film Festival with our first short. Chris's short was in the same block. We stood next to each other during the Q&A and vibed off each other, walked into the lobby afterwards, shook hands, and 2 weeks later, we're on set shooting our second short that we have been struggling to get off the ground. And, you know, and that's all because we went to this lovely regional festival with, you know, people who are, you want to kind of network, parallel network. A lot of people go to these festivals thinking, I'm going to meet this big wig executive producer and blah, 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 blah. No, you want to find your tribe and build that, you know, first and foremost, your bedrock. And there's no better place to find that than places like Waco or you know, Real East in Kilgore is another phenomenal Texas regional festival. There's so many different examples. Texas is massive, so there's a lot of festivals in there.
The Waco Experience, An American Story, is a production of D. Scott Smith Company, all rights reserved. Thank you for listening.